You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
But I'm so delighted to be joined right now by Marika, who is a science communication student, purveyor of science communication.
Yes.
In Dunedin. Yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
So tell me about the science communication department at Otago University.
Oh, well, it's a lovely department with lovely people, a lovely department that exists no more from next year. Yeah,
that's so sad. And they're just totally cutting the whole thing?
They are keeping like a few online, I think 1 year online, or like the diploma and certificate.
Right.
And they're only going to be online.
Yeah. Okay, tricky. But you were saying before how this is quite a globally unique course.
Yeah. It was what made me come here was that I didn't find this sort of mix of, you know, theory and but creativity mostly anywhere else, really.
Definitely. And so you came here from Sweden, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How do you find the difference between New Zealand and Sweden?
Oh, there are, like, you'd think that they're quite similar. And I guess, like, globally, you know, they are quite similar. Mm-hmm. But there are differences, definitely, and they kind of sneak up.
Yeah, like
on
what?
like, one of the trickiest things for me have been the like, we're quite direct in Sweden.
Yeah.
Like, we mean what we say.
Right.
Like, and, yeah, the frankness. Whereas here, it's like, everyone is really nice all the time, and that is sort of a really good thing. But, yeah, I think I've come across as not keeping that up when really I'm just, like, doing my Swedish honesty.
Yeah, I sort of wish that we were, like, more honest in New Zealand as well, because I feel like it's so frustrating when you just really want to say something but have to, like, talk around it or, like, try and be really nice. Or,
yeah, it's not really... Talking around things is not really... I mean, yeah, we do it, but not to this extent.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So what about from a sustainability perspective? How do you find Sweden different to New Zealand?
Very, very different.
Yeah?
Like, I didn't even... Like, I got my driver's license because I knew I was coming here. Like,
really?
I didn't really need to drive a car in Sweden at all. And here it's just, you need your own car to be able to live your life.
Would you say most young people don't get a license in Sweden?
Oh, yeah. Really? Like, you get a license. Like, you might get a license, but you don't get a car until you sort of start having a family.
Right. Wow. Yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
When I was in Sweden last year, I was biking all around, and I saw the cars that are like modified to go really slowly, and so people can drive them like without a license or like when they're young or something like that.
Oh yeah. The EPA tractor. Yeah. The EPA sort of tractors.
What is that?
That is exactly what you describe it as.
Yeah.
I guess it's like it's not like a legally a car. I think it's like a tractor. And
right.
It goes like 45 k's an hour max or something. And many people, like young people in the countryside, get them to be able to get around, I guess.
Right.
But it's also like a cultural thing, like a subculture around those cars too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because I saw a couple like in Stockholm that were like Porsches, and so is that like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, like
I've never heard of that.
I sort of imagine, I don't know if it's true, but like if it was like some like really really rich family who was like, my child needs to have a car to get around.
Oh wow.
I don't know if that's what it is.
That's
but
wild.
It was bizarre.
Yeah
That's crazy. But there's also like the trains in Sweden are just awesome, right?
I mean, they go everywhere. Like you can take the train literally everywhere. You can take the train to the mountain and go hiking for a few days.
I wish we could do that. We can't even take the bus to go hiking here. Right?
I know. It's so funny. When I was back in Sweden and I knew I was going to move here, because I'm into trail running, right? So I was looking around and like, are there any cool mountain ranges around Dunedin? And I saw the Silver Peaks.
Yeah.
And they got, you know, a trail and a hut and perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just take the bus out there and go running in the Silver Peaks every weekend.
Yeah. If only. I mean, there is sort of a bus that goes past there, but like once a day, and you have to walk for an extra like 10 k's or something.
Yeah
That's so sad. Again, when I was in Sweden hanging out with some people, we would just take the bus to go out and like explore places, and like to really niche places that I would have thought it would have been impossible to get a bus to, that you can just do it, and it's easy.
Yeah.
The dream. And you were talking about vegan food as well. It's easier to get vegan food in Sweden than here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There is so much more of it. It's more affordable. It's, like, everywhere. any supermarket, whereas here I really have to go and look hard for it.
Yeah, and pay a lot for it.
Yeah,
as well.
That too. Yeah, especially the mince. I mentioned before, like vegan mince is just like so ridiculously expensive.
Yeah,
I just want to make a bolognese.
The other thing that I really loved when I was there was being able to get vegan like ham, and so you can just make like an easy sandwich.
Yeah.
And like not stress about it. And I've literally never seen it in New Zealand.
No.
I don't think it's sold anywhere.
Yeah. What I do is I get tofu and I marinate it in like smoky paprika and I cut it really thinly. And
nice.
And that's what I do.
But then that takes so much more work. You know,
For sure. Yeah.
No, fair enough. So tell me a little bit more about your science communication work, about storytelling and nature connectedness. Where did that come from? What's it all about?
So I guess originally the idea came from like I wanted to somehow incorporate trail running into my thesis. So I was going to run these trails, and well, I am really interested in storytelling and storytelling for science communications. So, like, I was like, if I run these trails and I write the story about them, and then I test if like reading my stories about being in nature can improve people's nature connectedness to nature. But then that plan of like, I did run one trail. I ran the French Ridge hut, and I tried to write a story about it, and it just turned out awful. Like, it was just not interesting for anyone else to read. So I switched tracks, and I now I'm writing fictional stories instead, like children's adventure stories
About real places or about fictional places as well.
I mean, about real places. I mean, it's set in New Zealand and Sweden.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, it's totally fictional. I don't name the place or anything that.
It's just like in the mountains sort of thing.
Yeah, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So we've got the song queued up. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. So it's called Jag är en vampyr. It's by an artist called Marcus Krinagård, and I think any Swede listening would know who he is, at least my generation.
Yeah. If you are Swedish, text in 0212 Radio 1 and let us know.
Yeah, and it's just a pop song from 20 years ago or something, but it's still bopping, I think.
Cool. Fantastic. Well, let's play it now. Marika, thank you so much for having a chat with me. You are listening to Sustainable Sounds on Radio 1, 91.5.
Was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.